And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sander.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan. Having a great time in here this morning. Talking fishing. Captain Mike Pritchard of the Tribute. Branch joining us this morning from Charlie's Landing. We're just having a great time talking fishing, having fun, and talking to you. And boy, after hearing a great report with Wooly, certainly looking forward. We got Gundy Gunderson standing by with our surf report. It's just a great day, busy morning, Corey, and men. Busy action on the phones and the text.
Absolutely, man. It's that time of the year. Fishing's good. Things are happening. Breakfast burritos are waiting for us. It's like nothing but good times. You want to join us, 833-288-0973. Or you can send us a text via the app. And I know with the app, it's a super cool thing. You go back in the archives. If you missed yesterday's show with Pete Grosbeck, man, that was
cool, wasn't
it? Crazy cool show. You can go back and listen to it. And Rick, I don't know how, other than having the newsletter, like I signed up for the newsletter, so I get the Let's Talk Hookup newsletter. Dallas Maxa wrote the coolest story. It was a great read on Katmai Lodge.
That's like nice
how,
to say,
so
yeah.
how do we get that if we don't get the newsletter?
It's on the newsletter.
Yeah, got to get the newsletter.
Yeah, so sign up for it. It's on the website, and you know, easy to do. But yeah, that was cool. We had a fantastic trip to Katmai. It was one of those lifetime spots for sure. You know, it's what they all say. It's a bucket list trip, and then once you go, it's like, all right, well. That can't be the kick the bucket list trip. I got to figure out how to come back up here again. You know, the fishing was spectacular and the wildlife, and that's really nice of you to say. She'll be really proud to hear that you say that. I thought the same. I thought she did a great job.
She put a lot into it, and it showed. And
yeah.
It's a great read. And if you sign up for the newsletter, you also get so many people ask about the trips of the year, like what trips Let's Talk Hookup has signed up for and how they can sign up. The whole list is on there.
Yeah.
So if when you do sign up for the newsletter, you get that. And there's no junk involved. It doesn't go anywhere else. It's just Let's Talk Hookup news.
That's
so,
it, man.
Yeah. It's nothing but good times. But we do have Gundy Gunderson. We've got the surf report. The man, surf guru Gundy Gunderson. Good morning.
What up, Gundy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great. Hey, good morning.
Yeah, lots of action going on everywhere.
We'll take it, man. Summertime's in full swing. It's hot out east. Go on to the beach and go catch some corvinas.
Yeah, that's the story. Solid corvina fishing. And, you know, something that's interesting is, like, the best fishing is actually, I would say, from, you know, Ventura Oxnard all the way down South Bay, Bolsa Chica, Huntington. You know, the San Diego guys, it's been tough for those guys, and it's all about the conditions, you know, and you guys know how it's been. It's like you get a little temperature drop, then you get some wind, and then you get a little swell, and then there's junk in the water, you know. So it's, you know, they have that derby down there off Pacific Coast, and that 5-pounder's probably going to win it. I think today's the last day. But they've only checked in 5 fish, which is remarkable, you know, considering how much talent's down there. You know, the guy said, It's you're almost dealing with a daily change in conditions. So this is what I say, is that once we shift into a fall mode and we start seeing some hints of winter and stuff, I think there's going to be, you know, more consistent conditions. And I think that's when those fish are going to snap. It might be a short period of time, maybe a 4-week period, but if you're ready, you're on them, you know, and that's what you got to do when you're a corvina fisherman, man. It's very challenging. The best corvina fishing was in that South Bay area. Very good fishing there. Hermosa, Manhattan, that stretch, Torrance Beach, El Segundo, all through there. They posted several fish over 4 pounds, so that looks like that's the meat of the bite. We'll start up at Santa Barbara and slide through this real quick. Up there, they had, like I said, the best corvina fishing was Oxnard, Ventura area. And then they also had a very good white sea bass bite off the Goleta Pier. I mean, these guys, they were just schooled up thick, 16 to 24, 25-inch fish, so not legal fish, but biting anything in the water. Good perch fishing up there, smaller halibut, but there are halibut catches, and then very good leopard shark fishing, and that was up and down the coast. The leopard sharks really made a strong showing. Some of the smaller fish in the surf zone, but also some of those nice 3-4 foot leopard sharks in the mix, the big hens. So Jess Fishing, like I said, reported Hermosa, El Segundo, Manhattan, very good on the Corbina, sand crabs, fresh mussels, a few stripers there off El Segundo, a few halibut in the mix, a few croakers there. Big Fish reported the best fishing was off Bolsa Chica, Huntington Pier. That's been pretty consistent through there. Off of Newport, the guys are fishing river jetties, the street jetties, things like that. Oceanside, like I said, reported lots of fish, little consistency problems. They had an interesting bite on the pier, a wide open sargo bite. You know, it's not really the time of year, but hey, really nice fish, you know, 2 to 3 pound fish, a few pushing the 4 pound mark. And, another observation from one of the guys fishing the pier, and I heard Willie talking about getting the sand bass on the hard bottom and starting to see those sand bass come back. You know, there was some spawns in the mud going on up north there off of South Bay beaches, and then off of Huntington Flats and stuff. So these guys were seeing schools of little sand bass, like 3-4 inch fish, you know, running around the pier chasing smelt and things like that. That's pretty unique, and that might be a sign that that fishery is on its way back. That sure looks good to me.
Well, we'll certainly take that, man. I mean, I think that, you know, that Corvina thing you had been talking about and keeping us tabbed week to week, it was slow to start, but boy, this is the time of year, and not only the time of year when that fish is around, but it's the best time to go down to the beach and fish for them. And Gundy, is it a time of day thing? Is it a tide thing? Like if that's somebody's goal, you know, you talk about it all the time, the easy access to surf fishing, the going down after work, like is it just go when you can, or is there a better time that we should be doing if we're really trying to target that?
Well, you know, a couple things. You know, I was talking with the guys yesterday, and they were theorizing maybe, you know, there's so much sand crabs right now too, so the fish are gorged a little bit. You know, when you're seeing that many fish and struggling, it's not that they're not there. You know, they're seeing the fish, and that's the frustration. It's tough to put a hook in them. What I would do, you know, is you want to fish different times of the tide and see if you can dial that in. Or you switch from the sand crab to bloodworms or maybe ghost shrimps, you know, something like that. Throw something different. Or even mussel, you know, mussel can be a really good Corbina bait. You know, if you're near the pier pilings or something, you get some of those better mussels and you also get better sand crabs. One of my buddies got a real nice fish off Doheny this week, and he went to the San Clemente Pier and made big chunky sand crabs and then brought them to Doheny. So there's little things you can do to try to make it a little bit better. But like I said, when we get into this fall and we get these kind of flat days and the weather, look for that bite to really go, because they'll feed before they go in the wintertime, and there's going to be a window where they're going to bite.
Such an awesome report, Gundy.
Best, dude.
Always on top of it, and just... Dude, you're so you have all the info, man, from Santa Barbara to San Diego.
It's not, you know, I love chatting with these guys in the tackle shops, you know, and that's, I've said it here before, but supporting your local tackle shops, and those guys got a beat on the bite, you know, and those guys fish themselves, you know, so we sit there and talk it up, you know, like all fishermen do, and that's where we get the good information.
Well, appreciate your report every single week, Gundy, and it's something I look forward to, and all the reports we get here are good, but yours, man, it's just, I look forward to it every single week, and thank you. Look forward to talking to you again next week, Gundy.
I appreciate those kind comments, man.
Yes, sir.
Have all a right. good week, you guys. Great
you
show.
Too, Gundy.
Thank you.
And if you're listening to this and you want to get some more good info and a place to get good stuff, it's Bill Varney's surffishtackle.com. Check surffishtackle.com, and he's got all of your surffish needs there as well.
Bones are packed. Everybody excited to talk to the boys. Let's jump back into it, Corey.
Let's do that. How about Tom? Tom Calm from University City.
What's up, Tom?
Hey, good morning. Well, I just wanted to say for the record, if I go on the tribute and we go fishing for kelps and we get 15 to 20 pound yellowfin, I will not complain.
Thank you.
In fact, I just love those days because, you know, you're just driving along. Usually it's sunny and you know, go from kelp to kelp, and some of them have a fish and some of them don't, and some of them are loaded. And it's just such a good way to spend an afternoon that I really look forward to doing that again.
Well, it's pulling up on a kelp like that, especially late summer or fall, it's just the possibilities are endless, whether it's, you know, empty, like you said, or there's, you know, yellowfin and dorado on it. I mean, it's been years, but we've seen good big eye fishing on them. Big, you know, it's just where you get up to it, and it's just a straight aquarium. There's nothing like it, especially if you're bringing somebody out for their first time or first couple of times. You get a kid out there, and you're looking down in the water, and there's dorado swimming around, yellowfin, yellowtail. I mean, it's just, you can sit there and watch that all day, whether you catch them or not. It is the neatest thing to watch ever, and if that doesn't get you hooked, then I don't think anything will. And it's, you know, you see, with the binoculars we get from Baker, like we've talked about, whether it's the Fujinons or their own binoculars, some of these kelps we're seeing from, you know, 4 miles. So for 25 minutes, you're rolling up on this thing and just, you know, you're going through all possibilities. And if it's that time of year where you know fishing is really good, and you start telling the guys, hey, look, you know, don't start with anything lighter than 40 pound. And you start pulling up and you're, you know, you're a mile away from it. You start watching Dorado jump on it. It's such a neat experience, and it's, you know, big bluefin fishing is great, but there's something about just rolling up there, your skin starts to crawl a little bit, and you're like, oh man, here we go. And, you know, you got a bunch of guys back there chomping at the bit, and they're, you know, watching the Dorado jump, and it's a great experience. It's something that I look forward to seeing every time.
How much has that changed the game for you driving a boat, you know, now versus 20 years ago, when you can see a kelp literally at 4 miles, you can see fish jumping on it from a mile away? Like,
oh, no,
you know,
problem. My mile's nothing.
The distance that, you know, And I'm sure everybody, like, I was pride myself on how good I could see out of my Baker 750s. I picked those things up now. I can't see anything out of them. This is not a thing.
It's a complete game changer. I think when I first started using them on the XL, we talked about this years ago, but I think I had a bird school at, like, 13 miles. Pat Cavanaugh was running the boat, and he goes, if you see another bird school at 13 miles, don't tell me.
Keep your mouth shut.
It took so long to get there, and if the birds are moving, you know, away at 5 knots, you're on a boat that's doing 10 or 11 knots, it takes forever.
13 miles
is by the time we got up to it. You're looking at frigates and, you know, different birds, and I was up in the mast, but, you know, you see just this little grainy thing on the horizon, and I'm like, it's a bird school.
And a frigate could be a quarter mile up in the air or whatever.
Yeah, right? There's such big birds, though. I mean, as you get closer, you realize there's boobies and everything else mixed in with them. I remember it was Scott Mizell. He goes, I am not spending $5,000 on binoculars. And this is when, you know, the original Stabbies came out. And I was like, I don't know. And I got a set of Frasers. He goes, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to buy them. It's not worth it. It doesn't pencil out. And I drove around him and he goes, where are you going? I'm like, there's a bird school 2 miles outside you. He goes, what? And then all of a sudden you look at it, and like we were talking about with Anthony, I don't even know. I have $40,000 worth of binoculars now. So that's something ridiculous.
But how lucky are we to have Baker Marine right here in our backyard?
And those, like we talked about, that deer that I shot a couple weeks ago, those new binoculars that they make, they're one hand operation, they're light. But you can see things that 20 years ago would have been unheard of. You can basically see into the future.
What they're doing now with those is like they're getting to the point where you're eliminating a spotting scope. You know, I mean, you have a 14 power you can hold in your hands and still pick a hillside apart, but then you can just put it back into your, you know, into your pouch and keep walking away again.
My buddy that I was hunting with, Brady Daniels, he gets his tripod out and his spotting scope. He goes, come here, take a look at this buck. And I go, and I look at it and I hand him my binoculars and he goes, oh.
Yeah,
I guess you don't need a spotting scope.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, Brant, I know you've spent a lot of time fishing big boats, and you think that's the other thing about those binoculars is when, you know, Puerto Vallarta, I know you spent a lot of time doing that. When you're picking off big targets too, it's just amazing the distance you can see. Like, you know, the distance away that you can see a spinner dolphin or a porpoise jumping on the horizon, like it's into a different time zone. You know,
it is.
Yeah, I mean, I know what we know now. I mean, that's probably the most important piece of fish finding equipment on the boat. I mean,
certainly if you're on a boat that you know is not at the level of having a sonar, it's the best fish finding tool that there is. You know, it is whatever level a guy can do it at. You know, whether it be a pair of Technostabies or a or a pair of scrubbing skates, whatever level you can, you know, is realistic in your budget, it is a must-have. It's not a, hey, maybe think about it, it's a tool you got to have.
100%. Yeah. I mean, when you're driving around your buddies to go
That's it. When you're sneaking past, you know, three or four boats because you're seeing things that they can't.
Yeah.
You know, totally. Hey, you guys stay there for a minute.
Yeah, what are you doing? I'm just going to go. I just got a feeling I'm going to go check out Westy a couple miles.
Well, and it's, you know, like fishing Guadalupe Island. You could literally look up one side of the island to the other side and make your choice. And, you know, you're not just maybe driving to where the fish are, but you can avoid areas that are completely lack of light.
Totally.
You're looking 5 miles up the island. You're like, I don't see a bird. I don't see anything. And you look down the other way and you, you know, see some birds on the horizon. It's a game changer because it, if nothing else, it keeps you from going the wrong direction.
Totally. That's a good call. Hey, the phones are packed up. Let's jump right back in, Corey.
Let's do that. How about John? John Cole from Dallas. Good morning, John.
Morning, guys. I get excited when I listen to your show. But my question to Mike is, what's the difference between a day and a half trip to a day and three quarter day trip?
I don't know if anybody actually does a day and three quarter anymore. What we did, and we were going to call it a day and three quarter at first. It's a reverse day and a half. Instead of typical leaving at, you know, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night and coming back, like if you leave on a Friday night, you're coming back Sunday morning. These trips, are literally the same or actually maybe a little bit less time, but you're leaving at 11 o'clock in the morning. You're traveling out. You might get some fishing time that afternoon. You're fishing all night, fishing the next morning, and then coming back in. It's just, it seems like a much longer trip because of how much fishing time you get in, but it's the same. Guys were doing a day and three quarter for a while and just leaving earlier in the day, and that's how they justified it. One neat thing about the reverse trips is you're fishing 12 hours, 2 calendar days, right. So you got to keep 2 days worth of limits. And
that's huge.
There's a lot of controversy. You guys are going, that's not, you can't do that. There's other boat owners going, it's illegal. And I go into Fishing Game and I buy our 2-day declaration. And it says, you know, if you have 12 hours of calendar fishing on each day, which is easy to do after midnight.
Right.
And the first day you're leaving at 11 o'clock in the morning. And on a lot of these trips, you're fishing from 9 o'clock at night till daylight and sometimes after that. I mean, there's a ton of fishing. And you're fishing on the way out, whether you can find a kelp and some yellowtail or something. And it's completely changed. And we've had a lot of trips where we had, you know, 4 fish per person in literally a 30-hour time span. So it's bang for the buck. It's something. And that's kind of what guys would have originally called a 1 3/4 day, but we just call them a reverse day and a half. For whatever reason, people wouldn't book 1 3/4 days.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound right or something.
You nailed it. I mean, that's it. It's got, you have to leave before noon on the departure day, and you have to return afternoon, you know, on another day, and it's got to be 12 hours. You said it best. That's exactly what the law is. You got to have a declaration that says you're out for 2 days. All of it's easy to do, but that's what has to be done.
Fishing Game looks at the paperwork. They look at your departure time, your return time. They stamp it. They okay it. Like I said, there's some other boat owners that argued it, you know, and they're like, you can't do that. And I was like, you can.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a loophole, but it's not. It's literally, it's what's written is, you know, you leave before noon, you fish till midnight, there's your first day, and then you got midnight till noon, and you're fishing, you know, coming back well after that. Most of these trips return at like 5 p.m., so.
Sure.
There's a, like I said, just a ridiculous, and if most people don't sleep on these trips. Guys get on the boat, they're excited.
Yeah.
I always tell them, say, you need to sleep on the way out. This is your one little chance, or you might get a nap on the way in. And you go down there, and it's like you know, pulling up to the area. It's just about dark, and I'm like, God, none of you guys slept. Not one of you. And most of them have been drinking, which is awesome. You guys are out to have a good time. And said, you know, about 3 o'clock in the morning, you start looking at some of these guys. I'm like, you know, we're used to it. Unfortunately, nobody should be used to a lack of sleep. But you start looking at some of these guys at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're falling asleep at the rail.
You need to go down to that boat, get yourself a bomber burrito from Charlie's Landing. Wash back a cold one for a buck and then pass right out. That's the move. Get as much sleep as you can before it happens.
That's what I'd say, you know, knock down a couple of beers and just force yourself to take a 3-hour nap.
Dividends on the backside.
Some of these longer trips, you know, we've done a couple of 3 days back to back, and I go, you guys are going to have to sleep at one point or another.
Yeah, well, it's got to happen at some point.
We had a good night of fishing, but we want to see what daylight brings. And I'm like, You're going to have to sleep sooner or later.
it's going to catch you at some point. Brent, how does departure times affect you? I mean, you guys have done such a great job with Social Tap, but, you know, set hours. You don't have fishermen coming at all days and times. Like, how do you guys handle, you know, what are the hours availability with fishermen wanting to be early and boats leaving and, you know, you providing food for guys that are going on charter trips? How do you guys handle that with a, you know, a different set of customers than what you're used to with your other successful, you know, locations with Social Tap?
You know, we work closely with Seaforth and understand kind of when boats are coming back in and leaving and stuff and try to, you know, make sure we're staffed appropriately for kind of the expectations that we have. But it's always a crapshoot, you know, to be honest. Like, I mean, we just got to be prepared for anything. And, you know, and then when the whale watch boats go in and out, you know, sometimes, I mean, we get two people from a boat of 100. Sometimes we get 50. And just you just never know.
Yeah,
so totally. You just kind of play it by ear and roll with it.
Holiday weekend, you might be, you know, you prepare for a bunch and you get a whole bunch more than you thought or vice versa. I mean, it's just the beauty of having success in the industry that you're clearly in makes that difference, I'm sure.
Yeah, now that we've been open for a little over a year and stuff, too, I mean, we get a lot of the marina traffic, you know, the private boaters and, you know, a lot of the tourists, and we're getting a pretty good local following too that have nothing to do with the boats. Just, you know, kind of figured us out and, you know, like the food and the location.
Make good food and have a good atmosphere. People find you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Ever since you kind of changed the front, and all it is those flowers, the planters, it kind of encloses that area a little bit and blocks some of the wind. But it is, I mean, it's a neat little place to go up.
Yeah.
You see people sitting there for hours, you know, having a couple of beers or whatever. Definitely see a lot of people on dates.
Yeah.
You can tell, you know, you're like, but it, if you know, you get a chance to sit down there and watch the boats come in and out,
totally.
The birds, probably and I'm sure you would know better, but one of the few beachfront restaurants where I have never seen seagulls be an issue. There's been seagulls over at Point Loma Seafood here that were,
generational.
Yeah. where they would straight up take your sandwich out of your hand. And like there was warnings. It happened to me years ago and I vowed to get that seagull. It never happened, but
right?
I was getting ready to eat a tuna sandwich and at mid bite, that thing took it out of my mouth and hand. I was like, and I haven't seen that there. For whatever reason, the birds seem to be relatively friendly.
A little more subdued.
Comparatively speaking.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, we haven't had that problem. And it was funny. I was at Point Loma Seafood last week and had a seagull kind of dive bomb my head over there and getting my clam sandwich, you know. Yeah, we've been lucky over there.
Cool.
It's also super kid-friendly over there, too, because we're right on that, like, little walkway,
yeah.
You know, and the kids crawl around on the rocks.
Watch the Garibaldi.
Yeah, watch Garibaldi and look for crabs, and, you know, it's a...
Yeah, a nice little grass area, dog-friendly.
Dog-friendly, family-friendly, it's pretty cool.
Such the perfect spot to go for a stroll, too, and, like, you start or finish there, you know, it's just, it's a good spot, man, I love it.
And there's so many listeners from Orange County, L.A. area that... Dude, they want to come down a couple hours early. They want to get the parking spot,
totally.
Hang out, and it's...
Yep.
Dude,
so many of our fishermen get there hours early, so that's a great bet. And we haven't brought it up, and it goes both ways. It's the free parking, though. You're probably not going to find a whole lot of restaurants in San Diego where you can park
waterfront for free.
Waterfront for free, yes.
Yeah, that's a good and bad thing. I mean, when the fishermen are there, sometimes it does get tough to park.
Almost didn't want to say it.
Yeah, no, it is what it is, you know, and sometimes you got to just fight for a spot there. But once you get settled in, it's worth it.
And there's plenty of free parking, too. It's a 100-yard walk. It's super easy.
Yep.
All right. Hey, we've got is it Youssef?
Uh-huh.
We've got Youssef on hold, man, the angler's realtor, and that's brought to us by the Fish Pros of Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. It's where you get your premier processing experience. You can check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips, and with more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and the finest customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or you can check them out at fishermansprocessing.com and make your reservations today. And one thing I wanted to bring up, I had a couple, Tom and Val, that went out on an 8-day, and I brought it up to them because Tim Ekstrom had mentioned it on here before, and they had like 3/4 of their fish frozen at Fisherman's Processing because Tim said, like in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
A piece of fish will be frozen. So it's so much cleaner to do it that way than it is to try to put 200 pounds of in your freezer at home, and it takes 2 days for it to freeze.
Yeah, and you're the middle of it is, you know, frozen it's 3 days
not,
later.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So it's kind of an overlooked thing.
15 minutes is rad. That,
right?
That's amazing.
Yeah, if you walk, if you're in a giant walk-in with big giant fans blowing cold air,
yes,
and everything is on its own bread rack and it's not, you know, stacked on top of each other, you're right. You know, you take a bunch of fresh because in your mind, like, I want to get everything fresh. Well, you eat two or three meals, and then the other 200 pounds just get stacked on top of each other like little Lego blocks in your chest freezer.
Still trying to freeze 2 days later.
Totally.
Yeah. So it's something that's overlooked. Have Fishman's Processing. If you know you're not going to divvy out half of it,
yeah,
then freeze half
yeah
of it.
Yeah, hey, take this one fish, keep it fresh. We're going to eat this over the next couple of days, share it with some friends. The rest of it, freeze that thing on up, and it'll be rock solid when you put it in your freezer. Better product all the way around.
It is, 100%.
That's a good
yes
call.
Yeah, and you don't think about it, especially having a chest freezer. You bring home 100 pounds of fillets, and you stack them all in a chest freezer, and you're like, I give away a lot of fish, and we go through, obviously, a lot. But if you have an upright freezer or somewhere you can layer it, but, you know, you see guys do that, and you know that center is going to be frozen in, like, 3 days.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah.
That's going to be one big block.
Utilize the service that Fisherman's Processing offers, and
yeah,
it's one of those things that's overlooked.
Yeah, well, we got the man. Yosef's on the line with our FishDope.com report. What's up, Yosef?
Not too much, guys. How are we doing today?
We're doing great, buddy. Having a good time, talking some fishing, talking a little eating at Charlie's Landing.
Dude,
we're having fun, man.
Breakfast burritos are waiting. I don't think I can hold back anymore. I'm going to have to pull one out right now.
My blood type is burrito. So, fishing's still good. It's slowed down a little bit up north. Santa Rosa, the halibut fishing has been on fire, though. Beecher's Bay and the flats area, of course, on squid. Santa Cruz, the calico bass fishing has really picked up. Besides that, though, the only game in town is rockfish. Yeah, Nicholas, there's a decent shot still at a 20 or 30 pound sea bass. One thing to look out for is there's a lot of black sea bass in the area that are also in the mix, and you may hook one or two. Santa Monica Bay, calico bass fishing and bonita are biting really well out at Rocky Point with the occasional yellowtail. PV is the one spot this weekend if you want to get away from Catalina Island crowds and still catch a yellowtail. The yellowtail fishing is really good. Bass fishing is great as well. The water is very warm up there, 75 to 76. Catalina, it's full speed jet skiers right now, if you were interested. The front side still has the three Bs that are biting really well. Backside is yellowtail and sea bass still. You have to use super light line on these things right now. They're super line shy, 12-pound test, number four hooks. San Clemente, Pyramid Cove was a zoo last night, 50 to 60 boats, full speed as well there. There was some yellowtail caught. Yellowtail fishing over there for some reason is just nighttime fishing. As soon as the sun comes up, it's kind of over. There's a ton of squid in there as well. Big tunas, the snail 7-Eleven area is still biting really well. There are really weird schools of 5 to 10 pounders and other schools with 150s to 250s. So very mixed bag. We're out, I think it was Tuesday. We got a 175 and a 5 pounder. So very strange.
That's crazy.
Coronados, the bluefin popped up for a day, kind of disappeared again. They've been mischievous, kind of popping up here and there. Yellowtail dried up quite a bit from what it was last week. It's just, you know, it's the islands, man. It's really good one day, the next day it's off. Tuna yesterday popped up between the 371 and the 425. They foamed for a little while. Wasn't crazy or anything around 4 p.m. Some guys did get them. There was nothing on the surface prior to that. That was the only real big pop-ups we heard of. Old Glory got a yellowfin yesterday, which is good news.
That's a great sign.
Talked to Danny a little bit about what's coming. He says there's kind of a big chlorophyll block down with some dirty water just above San Quintin that's going to hold everything down here for a little while still. So who knows, maybe we'll have a really late season.
Boy, we can handle that, man. Like,
yellowfin and Dorado.
Yeah, if that that stuff can come whatever it wants. As long right. as it long as it hangs in, we have a nice, you know, get this thing rolling here in the later summer, early fall, roll it all the way through until December, we can handle that. There's been more than a couple times that Mike has talked about having, you know, Thanksgiving tuna and then Christmas tuna. So we'll we could go for a little bit of that action this year, Yosef.
Our yellowfin fishing for several years, was the best was December.
That's so wild.
A couple years ago when we hauled out, we had limits like 5 days in a row in December, right? Like, I was just, it's unreal. I think December is now our October, or what October used to be. It has definitely changed.
It has, yep.
Well, Yosef, how about you? How's things changing in that real estate world? I know it's been a busy time, and you know, a lot of hard work, and a lot of things on the horizon. How's things going in your world?
It's really starting to pick up. Getting lots of calls on listings now. Buyers that were sitting on the couch and not wanting to buy because the interest rates are starting to buy again. The mortgage company I work with took more applications last week than they have in history.
Really?
Wow.
People are going to start buying here again. It's coming.
That's awesome.
I've seen the pickup already, and I think over the next few months here, we hopefully get some bumps in interest rates and really gets our real estate market going again.
That's awesome. Well, glad to hear it. Great job, as always. If you want to save $30 off of a new membership to fishdope.com, you can do it by using the code HOOKUPNOW. It's all lowercase, no space, saves you $30. And if somebody wants to keep in touch with you, find out an eval on their house, find out what's going on in the real estate game, maybe get some of that killer beef. How do we find you and all the things you're involved with, Yosef?
You can get me on my cell phone, 619-277-2169. You can get a free home evaluation at SoCalHomeEval.com. You can also search for homes at SportsmansRealty.com. As far as the beef goes, just go to Nature Fed Beef. We have beef in stock if you'd like a quarter, a half, or a whole cow. And we deliver it right to your door as long as you're in Southern California.
There it is. Great job, as always, Yosef. Appreciate it very much. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thanks, buddy. Great report, man. That's a lot of fish biting up and down the beach
awesome
right now.
Report.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Dude, that breakfast food over there is looking better.
Corey's never been more stoked to go to break the entire show. We've been doing it.
There it is. I'm going to take a bite. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hook Up. More from Charlie's Landing with Brant and Mike from the Tribute when we return on the Let's Talk Hook Up app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
This is Pete Gray to tell you about my fishing buddy, Dan Hume, and his amazing company, Hume Termite. As you know, Southern California is infested with termites. It's a constant battle for anyone who owns a home, and that's where Hume Termite come in. They're strictly termite experts. They start with a thorough inspection to find out why you have termites in the first place, then recommend sustainable treatment options that work. Hume Termite has been controlling my termites for years, and I have recommended them to numerous friends. Did you know 99% of termite companies are commission-based? Not Hume Termite. They're all salaried employees, and with a thorough inspection, they'll help you solve your termite problems, not sell you something you don't need. Let Dan and his crew earn your business through customer service and trust. It's swarming season, and now is the time to call Hume Termite at 760-598-2201. They'll come out and give you honest answers to solve your termite issues. Check HumeTermite.com.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
Captain Jamie Tennis from Season Sport Fishing here. For the past few seasons, a dart-styled metal jig has come into play in a big way for tuna offshore or even rockfish down deep. AFCO's crossbreed jig has quickly become the go-to for many since it came onto the market. AFCO's crossbreed jig is good to go right out of the package with a 4X treble hook heavy-duty split rings, West Coast colors, and sizes 60 gram to 120 gram. Pick one up today at your local tackle store or learn more on AFCO.com.
This Labor Day, your San Diego County Ford dealer proudly salutes you during the Ford Labor Day Sell-A-Thon. For 5 days only, get limited-time deals across many of Ford's award-winning lineup of trucks and SUVs. A lineup featuring California's number one truck brand with Ford F-Series, the all-electric Ford Mustang Mach-E, the iconic Ford Bronco, and the versatile Ford Maverick truck. It's your chance to save, whether it's gas, hybrid, or all-electric. Find the perfect Ford for you during the Labor Day Sell-A-Thon. Everything ends September 2nd, so don't wait. Hurry into your local San Diego County Ford dealer today.
How are you going to bring the show back on that one?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
How good is this, dude?
Dude, welcome back, man. Welcome back to Let's Talk. Hey, this chorizo breakfast burrito. You got to remember, I'm married to a Mexican woman. This tomatillo green salsa, salsa verde, is a home run.
Awesome.
Yes. Awesome. The burrito's awesome. Could I honestly finish this?
Yeah,
I don't think
that's
so.
A bomber, dude.
Yes.
A real one. I went breakfast sando. It is killer. It is killer. And again, you want to talk about easy boat food, too, like whether you're at the restaurant or just going fishing. Like, right, it was really cool.
You know, I'm going to spend a day out fishing and come back and have food, man. Kick back.
And give us that quick rundown. You were saying, like, when you were making them, like, it was, you know, how you were doing. You didn't go the normal route. You were talking about, you know, taking fingerling potatoes, smashing down. Give us that rundown too on how you're building some of those things up.
Yeah, that's just kind of our take on it. You know, I mean, there's so many breakfast burritos in San Diego. You know, you got to kind of make them a little different, I guess. And we do, you know, for our fried potatoes in the breakfast burrito, we actually use fingerlings and then boil them and smash them and then fry them so they get those crispy edges and are a little different than throwing a French fry or a hash brown off the shelf in them, you know?
You're not just buying a Restaurant Depot bag of frozen hash brown pieces and cooking them up and putting them in there. You're making a burrito.
Yeah, I mean, everything we make at the restaurant scratch, so, you know, I mean, from the sauces to our pickles on the smash burger, so
that's
we make
awesome.
All those in-house.
You do your own pickles?
We do, yeah.
That's
what?
Cool.
I mean, it's a little stuff like that just adds to
that's
it.
That's the difference maker, yeah, no doubt about it, man. Well, a great move, and I can tell you firsthand, we've lost Corey, so, you
right?
know, go out for the show. That chorizo burrito is gonna take it down. Hey, we're having a great time this morning. If you want to join us, having a lot of fun here on Let's Talk Hookup, still, we'd love to hear from you. 833-288-0973 is how you reach on the fan. Jeff is standing by. Jeff, I really, you know, Jeff already told us he's a big fan of Social Tap, so you already know what's going down on this end, Jeff. I just wish you were here to hang and enjoy with us. We're having a great time here this morning. If you want to join us, we want to hear from you. Also, send us a text on that Let's Talk Hookup app. Some great text rolling through, and Corey, let's just jump right back into those phones.
Let's do that, and we're giving away a day and a half trip on the Tribute, too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Super kind of you, for yep. sure, Mike. How about
some good opportunities.
I think we've got him back on hold again. Let's try him again. Jim in National City. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, Mike, I've been fishing on your boat since you purchased it way back when, and the improvements you've done on that boat are just kept that boat at the top of the fleet.
Thank you.
Yeah, just awesome. But, you know, the thing that's always impressed me about the Tribute is your crew, how you hold them together pretty much year after year. And, you know, I know you had some operations on your shoulder, your knee, and you've always had a guy take your place that's been an excellent skipper and kept that boat at the top of the fleet. You know, you had a guy on there, Nate, I think his name, a new guy on the deck. Was it Nate or Nick? Tall, thin guy from Temecula. Is he still on the boat?
We don't have a Nate or a Nick. Tanner. Is he darker than average?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tanner. That's pretty close to me.
Yeah, yes, Tanner.
That's
funny. Tanner's getting his license. A great guy. He's been with me for 3 years, and that'd be Tanner.
That's awesome. You know, the one thing you do, again, you know, you talk about all the little things that you do with that Tribute. You know, I see it because we do the same thing. You know, when we're looking for adding to our crew in the tackle store, like, anytime Mike posts an application, or, you know, hey, we're looking for a guy, this boat runs all the time. This boat has a 401k program. Like, you just offer things that a lot of other boats don't, and then in doing so, you attract a higher, you know, like there's a higher-end group of people that work with you.
Yeah. No, it's, like I said, Ian's been a great addition. He's been running the boat. Tanner's been there for, like I said, several years. He's getting his license, very fishy guy. You got all of our crew. Daniel's in the galley, and you guys see the food pics. But I'm very picky about how the boats ran, about how the crew acts, and it's kind of funny. You get some new guys that come from other boats, and they're like, man, that guy's really anal, and I'm like, that's how we do it. There's no option. Nobody takes off their own fish, and if you got a crew member over there, and he's sitting on the other side of the boat, I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, well, nothing. I go, that's the problem. Why, you're on the wrong side of the boat. Like, but that's one thing, our food and our crew are things we can keep track of. And we can handle fishing as fishing. The boat cleanliness, these are all things that we can take care of, and we make sure that they're done, and we keep you guys happy.
There's just not a lot of crew member jobs out there that offer benefits, and I think that's a big reason.
You'd be amazed at how few guys use it. I have to force people to use our 401k. It blows me away. Different day and age, I use it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just but again, that's why you have the level of crew that you do on that boat, and it goes a long way, and it's really cool. Hey, I had a great text come through. Says, "Good morning, guys. What a fun show! Shout out. You can tell how fishy Mike is in the tribute by how late into the season he runs, and he's always one of the first captains kicking off the Bluefin season for us in SoCal every year. So a big thanks to Mike for getting us started. My question: what is the time of year that the fishing tends to happen on the anchor at the Tanner and Cortez? I got to participate in that last year, had a blast. Yellows in the morning, tunas in the afternoon. Do you foresee that being something in our future?"
We've experienced a little bit of that this year. It's kind of come and gone. It all depends on water temp and bait out there. But I'd say late summer, fall, stuff that's going to be coming up here. And, we've been trying to dictate our trips around the best fishing. We've been doing a lot of the reverse day and a half. And usually as it gets later in the year, you start to see better daytime fishing, whether it's the 43, below San Clemente Island or Cortez, Tanner. But there's been so many great trips over the last few years that have just been – it's been October, late September, October, November. I think we talked about it last year. We had some back and forth on great bluefin fishing and some of that big yellowfin that was down 150 miles. And we had done that. We had good fishing. And then it slowed down just a little bit. And – I advertised. I said, whether it's a yellowfin or bluefin, fishing is great right now. And we had guys come down to the boat, and I told them we were going to be fishing bluefin, and we had two guys walk off the boat.
No,
I said, well, they said, no, we came down here to go fish yellowfin. And I said, well, what's, obviously there's a difference, but so the bluefin are the same size as the yellowfin right now. Well, yeah, but you can keep more of them. I said, nobody's catching five of those big yellowfin. You're not going to do it on a day and a half trip. And then we went out and we knocked the crud out of the bluefin the next morning, and I couldn't wait to post that. We had limits of 40 to 80 pound bluefin by 8 o'clock in the morning, and then we went out and did some other stuff. But it's just, and that was I think that was November, late October,
that's
early
crazy,
November, man. Somewhere in there. But when you have the option to go fish yellowfin or bluefin, and they're nice sized fish like that, I mean, it's I think, like I said, I think we haven't got into it yet.
Yep, I agree.
It's still coming.
Do you think some of this stuff's going to creep up?
Oh, yeah.
The yellowfin?
Yeah, I feel like this is June.
Yeah.
We've had great bluefin fishing. It's been year-round. I mean, we've been catching bluefin since February. We fished them last year until December. And I think it's going to be the same way again. But you see a little bit of kelp head yellowtail, the water's starting to warm up. I still think we're not into our warmest water yet, and it's I think in a month you're going to see more variety.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is now. I really hope it sticks that way too, because our season used to end in October.
Right.
When I worked on the producer in the mid 90s, if we got trips in October, that was great.
And we were lucky if it started by middle June.
Yeah, it was April through October was when you expected to fish. April was a little bit of yellowtail down by Todos Santos or whatever else it was. But yeah, it didn't really get going until June, and then it ended in October. So, What a great world we live in, where your crew members are complaining about days off in February.
Right. No doubt. I had a fun text come through. It says, good morning, guys. Love the show this morning. A few weeks ago, my family and I were vacationing at the Hyatt Mission Bay. It was time to go home. We were hungry, and we stopped off at Charlie's Landing. The service and the food was outstanding. Fast and fresh. Two adults, three kids, all quiet and happy and full. Keep up the great eats. Be back there soon. Cheers.
How cool is that?
Awesome. Love hearing that.
Got some fans for sure. Hey, Corey, the phones are packed up. Let's dive back in.
Let's do that. How about Daniel? Daniel calling from Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning, Daniel.
What's up, Daniel?
Was that my cook?
Good morning, guys.
Hey,
good morning.
Good morning, Daniel.
My question is for Mike. Mike, what are your thoughts on rail rods versus slow pitching jigging rods? What do you prefer?
So the slow pitch, the jigging rods like that are just a lot lighter. They're a lot more user friendly. Well, they're a lot faster. I'm still not the biggest fan of them when it comes to pulling on fish, because especially if you're up in the bow trying to get your rod tip out away from the boat or trying to clear the anchor, even getting it out far enough to clear the corner is a little bit of an issue. But as far as the use, and it's not something I've done a whole lot of, but the guys that are good at it, I mean, what a game changer.
Great.
You got a fast reel, you got a light rod that you can pull on and, you know, pull on a 200-pound fish with. But it's, I think when it comes down to pulling on the fish, the rail rods are just, I mean, that little bit of beef goes a long way.
You could answer this question better than anybody, but my opinion in the tackle store seems to be, if the fish are like sub 130, 140 pounds, that jigging rod is a very cool tool to have. Fish with it all night long, it's lighter. 60, 80 pounders, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How relatively easy that fish comes to the boat. I mean, sometimes it's kind of wind them right in. Those reels are super torquey and really powerful. The gear's easy to deal with. But, and then there's the but there. When that fish is above that size, man, it's like a big truck. It's like a big motor, man. There's no replacement for displacement when it comes to big gear.
Yep.
Like a low gear and a rail rod is what was made for killing big fish. And
it does it perfectly.
It sure does, man. You know, I think maybe a little bit let the size of the fish dictate the piece of gear that's in your hand. You know, as you're adding to your arsenal, you know. But there's a lot of guys that probably have that heavy, you know, that heavy rail rod outfit, because we've been doing this now for 10 years on the Tribute and catching these big fish. And I think that for sure that jigging outfit has a place in your arsenal, but you just gotta treat it for the right situation.
Yeah, and it's, you know, same thing, just the real technology. You go from, you're trying to fish like a 30 wide or something all night and a big heavy rail rod, it beats you up. Even if you're not getting bit, it beats you up.
No doubt.
If you're going over and under people in tangles, it beats you up. So being able to drop down to like a 12 or a 16 size reel, or, you know, you pick up those jigging rods and they don't weigh anything.
It's crazy.
And same thing, if you're going around people in and out of tangles, over a 6-hour period throughout the night, it's going to be a huge difference. But like you said, if the 200 pounders are biting and you start seeing this, or you hear the captain say, hey, these are big ones, like maybe you put that one down.
Yeah.
Rick, do you see the jigging stuff like upgrading a step to be able to handle that? Or Mike, I mean, do you see?
It can handle it. It's just.
No, but I mean, do you see like the next evolution, the next step being like a little bit bigger jigging reel?
Yes and no, I guess is the right. I mean, you would be amazed at, I mean, you do know, because I know that you fish some of those, you know, that style of reels, but the amount of power that they make is wild. The rods are designed to help move the lure. They're designed to help aid the fish. They're not designed
to kill 120 pounders.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm so fearful of letting some sort of cat out of the bag that I'm not supposed to. But I will hint at it yet again. A very prominent rod manufacturer who is one of our favorites.
Who may be on here next weekend.
Who since taking things over has really liked to do a lot of cool stuff. They're, again, I just don't know if I should be saying this, but I'm going to anyways. They're on their 18th revision of prototyping a rod that might be in that world.
Maybe,
you know what I mean? Like,
maybe next Saturday you could pull that out of them.
And very, very cautious about doing it very right the first way. And, you know, and I'll just leave it at that. And maybe we'll let those people talk about it more if it's more appropriate. I'm probably not supposed to have said any of that stuff. But I have a feeling that that will be a really cool something that comes down the road.
Good thing you can't look to see who's on next week.
Yeah.
Right? So, pretty safe to say, if you're a listener, next Saturday. You may just want to be tuning in.
Yeah, tune in to when the CalStar guys are on. You know, those two things are completely unrelated from each other.
Or if you need insurance, wait till Chrissy's on here.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're having a great one. So
much fun.
So I do. I mean, I see some evolution happening that way, and it's this will be one of the first takes when people who build rods that are really good at lifting big fish and, you know, kind of develop the rail rod thing, put that mindset towards building a good jigging rod. Now, they certainly could have just built a lightweight rail rod and called it a day, but that's not what a jigging rod does.
Right.
So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see. And
I'm
proud of those guys. When I say that they're in their 18th revision, it could have been very easy to make a handful and get one close enough and call it a day. I mean, there's a lot of money and work and time. You know, it's not wasted, but it's going into rebuilding. Okay, this isn't quite right. It needs to be a little more this way. So they could have taken advantage of this year's season and sold a lot of rods because of it, but chose not to and chose to wait until there's something perfect to put out for us. And I can't freaking wait.
And with all that being said, Rick, I mean, being a USA made, American made product,
totally,
made right here in Southern California.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. It's badass.
Yeah,
it totally makes it that much better.
Yeah.
Right.
We're excited for
and
sure.
Not overpriced.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, I had a great text come through. It says, good morning, guys. I would be interested in hearing Mike's opinion on picking a good anchovy. If that does indeed come around, what's your hook size? What's your line size? What's your rod and reel going to be like? That's from Bill in San Diego.
Oh, man. Would we go back to like a 220 and a Speedmaster, a 196.8, and a little Daiwa C Line 20.
Right.
You know what? If they're good anchovies, and it's we've seen a little bit of it lately, where you get a good 6, even 7-inch anchovy, just a big light green, you know, something without a red nose on it, something that's not swimming in a corner. It's the same thing as picking a sardine. It is, and you know, you get to a point where, and I mean, going back, it's. You got your couple options, whether you're collar hooking it or nose hooking it, but I'm sure guys up north are still seeing it. They get a lot more anchovy, but it's something that I do want to see again. It's, I mean, who doesn't want to see albacore and big anchovies?
Hello.
Yeah. And it's same thing.
But yesterday, Grosbeck was talking about a pretty healthy amount of fish central, Fort Bragg to Santa Cruz.
And that's where you come down to your, I mean, I'm pretty old fashioned when it comes to hooks, where you have your, you know, number 4 Mustad or just something, whether it's an Eagle Claw, it doesn't have to be. If it's a good anchovy, it'll swim the hook. But I mean, there's so much more now between Owner, Gamagatsu, and everything else, where you get a light thin wire hook that weighs nothing. And probably, you know, you're talking about an anchovy swimming that thing around for a couple of minutes. I'm sure it takes its toll on it, but it's just a different day and age of fishing. I remember the first time I saw sardines, I was working on a little charter boat called the Genie up in Port Hueneme. The captain, Dennis Evans, we went over to the bait receiver and he goes, what the hell is that?
Right?
I go, what? And he goes, sardines. I go, yeah. And he goes, I don't know if Rock Auto eats sardines. that was my first, and I was like 11.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, when it does happen, whether it be in the next couple of years, whether it be 20 years from now, whenever the cycle does come back around and we're fishing Chove again, it will. We are in the best spot in terms of rod and reel technology that we've ever been. You know, like you said, back in the day, you fished an SL20 or a 220 Newell or a Sweater.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You didn't have a lot of choices.
Now, Jigmaster Junior.
Yeah. Now with Trinidad 14s and Tranks, and I wish Pete was here to say it so I didn't have to be the guy to say it. But spinning reel technology, like the things that we have going for us now are so much better than they were before. Guys like CalStar building new rods. It's just going to be awesome, man. I can't wait.
It is. Something to look forward to, it is. And this breakfast burrito I'm going to look forward to, too. Hey, we're going to be right back at Let's Talk. We're going to find out who's won this day-and-a-half trip on the Tribute. When we return on the Let's Talk Hook Up app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
The fish are biting and it's time to go. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing, in Mission Bay. Or maybe in front of the shop on my kayak. It doesn't matter if you are out there on a kayak with me, on your boat, headed out on a sport boat. Dana Landing has everything you need. We call it the one-stop shop for a great day on the water, because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by John, is certainly one of the best. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. These guys have the best rods and reels and the hottest lures and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, with a great stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Mapleview and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check out DanaLanding.com for more details.
Hi, this is Captain Ray Lopez, owner-operator of the American Angler. I spent more than half my life aboard the American Angler along with my partners Brian and Lori, developing a team that's as good as it gets. I've been fortunate to spend time on the ocean with so many fine people that I look forward to fishing with. We can't thank you enough for being part of the American Angler family, and if you haven't joined us, we love the opportunity to meet you. Text or call Lori at 619-223-5414. Or check AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day and full-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
Hi, my name is Chris Webb, and I'm one of the owners of Nature Fed Beef Company. We started Nature Fed to bring families the highest quality beef that you can get in Southern California. Did you know when you buy ground beef at the store, it can contain hundreds, if not thousands, of different cows? All our cows are pasture raised and pasture finished. They roam and graze on green grass miles away from any freeways, assuring low levels of cortisol and some of the best meat quality that you can get. These animals are raised in God's country, in the climate Basin and just outside of Corning, California. We sell our cow shares in quarters, half and full cows. This gives you a cut from every piece of the cow, and all the meat you buy comes from the same cow. We deliver it right to your door, packaged and ready for your freezer. Let's Talk Hookup listeners can enjoy $250 off any beef order with the code HOOKUP. Give us a call at 619-324-3555 to order, or visit naturefedbeef.com. $250 off any beef order with the code HOOKUP. Visit naturefedbeef.com.
Looking for the ultimate Alaska fishing experience and the best value in Alaska? Look no further than Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. A trip to Kingfisher includes everything you need to make your experience legendary. The finest fishing fleet in Sitka with the best captains, deluxe accommodations, gourmet food, world-class fish processing, and the best part, it's all included for one amazing price. Kingfisher is Let's Talk Hookup's most popular destination. Hundreds of listeners have experienced Kingfisher Charters, and most go back again and again. You have probably heard a lot of big promises from other Alaska lodges, only to find there were lots of hidden charges. Not Kingfisher. Everything is included. 10-hour fishing days, your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, and fishing gear. All you bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. Kingfisher Charters, your Alaska fishing destination. 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. You know, Mike, flip the coin, the prize coin.
All right, this is for a day and a half aboard the Tribute.
Day and a half trip on the Tribute. Caller, I see, and the caller today is Daniel in Rancho Cucamonga.
Congratulations, yeah. Daniel! You're going to be stoked.
Tuesday night, there's a good possibility. We're sold out tomorrow. We're sold out the trip after that. We got some charters, but Tuesday night's got. I think it still has 13 spots open. Day and a half trip. Right now, there's been some good daytime fishing, so that kind of takes care of both right there.
Who do we call, Marcos?
Yeah, Seaforth Landing, 619-224-3383, seaforthlanding.com, tributesportfishing.com. And take a look at our social media, Tribute Sport Fishing, Facebook and Instagram. We got stuff up as well as part of our schedule, but we have what we've been catching here lately. And it's been some nice daytime bluefin that trip will fall perfectly in line with.
That's perfect. Well, a fantastic job, Mike. Appreciate it. Thanks for keeping us up to date, and thanks for keeping those boat reports coming too, man. We love it. Favorite part of the show.
For the
yeah, no doubt. Grant, if somebody wants to keep in touch with Charlie's Landing, come get some, score some great food. How do we find you?
Yeah, I mean, charlieslanding.com is probably the easiest, or just walk right across the breezeway from the tackle shop at Seaforth. We're right there.
This is like killer breakfast for you.
Right before you jump on the boat.
Yeah, yeah. This is good, you guys.
Works out good.
Come take advantage. Hey, we got another couple of great shows coming for you next week, and next Saturday, Chris and John from CalStar will be joining us, and next Sunday, Christy Wheeler from Dawson Insurance. Going to be a couple of great shows. We'll look forward to seeing you then.